launching into hour number two of the program. The toll-free number for you to bring up what you want is 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away. So enjoy those on us, all completely free at freetalklive.com. We continue with your phone calls, and then still to come, Mark, you're going to have to tell us about your day. You're all dressed up here, wearing a tie, so we'll find out what you did today. But first, we go to Ryan in Virginia. Ryan, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ryan, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey,
what's on your mind? Go ahead.
I just wanted to first off say I had heard the Saturday show, and you guys kept using decriminalization and legalization as if they were synonyms.
And there's a lot of disagreement out there.
You don't think they're synonyms?
I think they are, personally.
There's a lot of disagreement. How would you discern the two? Go ahead.
Okay, the way I feel about it is that people use the word decriminalization when they mean reducing simple possession to a finable offense. So there would be no jail time.
That's a partial definition.
I want to hear the rest. Go ahead.
Okay, and I would think legalization is allowing the sale.
Okay, yeah, well, I would say that there are different levels of decriminalization. While it is true that reducing a penalty from jail time to a $100 fine is a decriminalization of marijuana, it is also a decriminalization if you reduce it from some penalty to no penalty, to where it is effectively just another product in the marketplace. Now, you could call that legalization as well, I believe, but some would also say that legalization means that you would take the next step, that instead of just decriminalizing it fully to the point where it's just another product, an unregulated product in the marketplace, many would suggest that the term legalization actually connotates that some sort of governmental regulatory structure will be put into place in order to control that particular product, in order to control marijuana. So they would say that's what legalization means. So there's actually quite a bit of disagreement, I think, in the activist community as to which terms are appropriate to use.
I think you're probably right about that. I caught it and I'm like, it bugged me a little.
There you go.
On the same topic, I run camera on a local public affairs show sometimes.
Cool.
And today, and the vice mayor of Norfolk, Virginia, on a show about African Americans and their cultural issues and things of that nature, talking about murders that have been committed against athletes in the community, and actually had the intestinal fortitude to mention that the people who are killing them might be crack babies and thus completely unable to control their actions.
What? So he was suggesting that crack babies, people who were in their mother's womb while mom was smoking crack, are now not able to control their actions and therefore going and murdering black athletes in the Virginia area?
He absolutely said that. And it
wow, that's quite a theory.
My freaking mind. It
yeah.
did. And I almost jumped up from behind the camera and was like, yell at him, but I'm a professional. So
isn't there no evidence, basically, that crack babies have any more problems than any other babies?
No, I think they have developmental problems, but I don't think it causes you to murder people. From what I've heard on the subject, it's a lot like fetal alcohol syndrome or something like that. They're just sickly, they have, developmental problems.
I've heard that's just a bunch of scare stories, really. I've heard that it's nonsense.
I don't know about crack in particular. I know, obviously alcohol has some effect on the development of a fetus.
It's my understanding that the crack baby thing was one of those scary stories they told about during the crack epidemic to freak people out. And that I'm not recommending you smoke crack while you're pregnant, but I'm just saying that I don't think it's what they made it out to be.
That's what I heard as well. And it bothered me a lot that this, a prominent member of the African-American community was promulgating what might or might not be myths, but were scare stories that essentially have led to putting a whole lot of young black men in prison.
Now, are you guys having a real problem with athletes being killed in Virginia?
I wasn't aware of it, but apparently there have been six in the last year.
That's interesting.
In one city. Some theories about it are that it's gang related.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess. I mean, odds are good.
I don't have good data on it.
There's a good chance. I'm going to speculate here, of course, because I have no ties to your area. I don't know what exactly the story is there, but I do know that a lot of athletes are interested in using performance enhancing drugs or just drugs, period, just to get high. And there's certainly a chance that could be tied into some sort of gang activity in order to attain those products. And that could result in a lot of bad blood between people. Or maybe it's just that they were pissed because they won their little football game. Who knows? Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Don't do anything else.
All right, too. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line as we go to Jack in California. Jack, you are on the air on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, two things. First of all, I want to consider myself an anti-American because I think America is democracy and the republic and everything. And the problem with democracy and the republic is every idiot gets a vote. JT, I guess, was the guy who was talking on the same subject as the last caller, who called and started this whole drug thing. He wanted to execute drug dealers and...
Oh, yeah, this is the guy in the Saturday show, yeah.
Right. And first of all, it's guys like him who are the reason that slavery existed in the first place, because he got to vote. But slavery, you can't become a slave by your own free will. And people who take drugs, even if they become a slave to the drug, the very first time they took it, they chose to do it. So... they're not a slave. People who were real slaves were slaves because of the force of the gun.
Yep, not, that's true.
You know, not because they were addicted to something. So I'm kind of insulted like by that.
And I bet you are. It's pretty insulting.
It is pretty insulting. Like you said, I'm one of those people who did drugs. I still do marijuana. But I've done crystal meth. I've done cocaine. And I quit. I wasn't a slave to it.
How did you? How did you quit? What was it that led you to that point?
With the crystal meth, I quit because it was. I guess I was an enabler, or whoever I was with was an enabler. But whenever we were together, we would do it.
Mm.
But now that she and I are no longer together, I have not done it since. You know, in the 2 years have been broken up. Never, I haven't touched it.
You know, one of the lessons I learned early on in my adult life is that the people you associate with will bring you up or bring you down, all depending. And I've seen it so many times. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of my friends. And it really is important who you decide to hang out with, because it makes a difference in you.
Yeah, and I have all my teeth, you know. I didn't rob anybody. I went to work every day, came home. Before I went to work, I used to go to work gone high, and no one could tell the difference. So, I mean, I was a functioning meth head, and I'm still a functioning pothead. You know, I go to work high all the time, and no one can tell, and I get my job done. People need to relax. But the last caller was saying, though, about the athletes in Virginia getting all shot up and killed, and how that he was appalled or kind of shocked that guy, a prominent member in the black community, would say something like that. Well, don't get me wrong. Most blacks are also just as shocked as he is that a guy would say something like that. It's akin to saying that Rush Limbaugh is a prominent leader in the white community. Like, no one listens to Rush Limbaugh, and we don't listen to crackheads like that guy.
Yeah.
You know, we don't listen to those people. Most black people are like, whatever.
Yeah, but it's a funny thing to say, but we've brought this black man in to speak for all the black people. It's the craziest damn thing. And here's our white guy to speak for the white people. And here we have a little crippled Chinese lady. What?
No one speaks for me but me, and I'm tired of people assuming that because, well, that guy's black and you're black, he must be speaking for you. Hell no.
And, you know, they really don't do that very much with other minorities. You don't see them trotting in a Vietnamese person or a Hasidic Jew to speak for those areas of those minority areas. They don't see it. But you will hear terminology like prominent black leader or, you know, black minister, you know, all these this terminology to represent black people.
Let's be fair. They do use the term leader for politicians of all sorts, and so many politicians deign to speak for the entire population in their given geographic area, which is even more ludicrous. And
like the last caller said, though, he was like, this guy was speaking, and his exact words were, prominent member of the African American community. Rush Limbaugh is a prominent member of white community. No one thinks he's speaking for all white Americans.
Yeah.
Everyone is, you know, but there's some association between me and this crazy guy in South Carolina. because we're black. No.
Brilliant observations tonight. Thank you for them. I really appreciate it, Jack. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Coming up here in moments, Mark, you're going to share with us what you did today. You went out and did
the... It better be exciting as much as you've teased it.
I haven't heard it yet, so it's still exciting to me. You're all dressed up. You went up to the State House today for the seatbelt legislation that they're trying to push through yet again, and it sounded like you were a little disillusioned when you got here tonight, so I want to find out how that went for you. Mark, engaging in the political process, how'd it go? We'll find out. It's Free Talk Live.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-603-6487 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-603-6487. That's 1-800-603-6487. Again, 1-800-603-6487.
Rough roads might be ahead for the economy, but your vehicle doesn't have to experience them. Can't afford a new vehicle or even an expensive repair? Now you can take care of your vehicle with Protecta Engine Oil Booster by SFR, which is a fully synthetic oil booster. Protecta Engine Oil Booster fortifies your motor oil to help your engine last longer. Protecta Engine Oil Booster has been tested by independent laboratories and proven in over 1 million vehicles worldwide. We'll give you enough Protecta Engine Oil Booster for 5 complete oil changes for only $22.95. That's enough for 2 vehicles for up to 1 year. Start taking care of your vehicle today. Take advantage of this limited time offer and receive free shipping. Protecta Engine Oil Booster is the last defense against engine wear. Go to oilcompanysecret.com or call 1-888-873-7371. That's oilcompanysecret.com or 888-873-7371. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 888-873-7371 or visit oilcompanysecret.com.
Do you want to pay for the government bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You may have no choice. Obviously, taxpayers are on the hook for over $6 trillion. That's right, $1 trillion in mortgages held by these two corporations. The part that most people don't realize is that this bailout can have significant adverse effects on their 401ks and IRAs. Unless you're planning to help pay for this bailout with your personal retirement funds, you need to act now. The solution is to fund a self-directed IRA with gold and silver. Put your retirement money beyond the reach of government financiers today by calling 1-866-323-5665. SafeGrow IRAs are just a phone call away. That's 1-866-323-5665. Mike or Jim at Midas Resources can help you protect your retirement nest egg. Get informed and ask for our free report on the unseen fallout of the Fannie Freddie rescue. Call 1-866-323-5665.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. E-Foods does it again. The three-day responder provides one adult with 3 days worth of healthy, delicious, easy-fix food. The price of the three-day responder is almost ridiculous at $21.95 for actually 12 meals plus snacks. When you taste the food in the three-day responder, you'll understand why families trust E-Foods Direct to provide healthy, delicious food for every need. Whether you're hunting, playing, or responding to an emergency, the food in the three-day responder is easy to fix and ready to go. Food is an everyday need. The three-day responder is for the time when food should be the last thing you have to worry about. The three-day responder, $21.95. Sometimes the best things do come in the smallest packages. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. All right. Your calls are what the show is about. And by the way, I want to invite you to AdamEve.com. They've got a special offer for you. Go to AdamEve.com and get 50% off of one item when you type FTL for the offer code coupon checkout. Plus, with your order of $17 or more, they'll throw in a free gift. Get 50% off with offer code FTL at AdamEve.com. That's AdamEve.com. So, Mark, you went out to Concord, New Hampshire today to engage in some political activism. And this particular variety was in regards to the seatbelt legislation, which is a bill that comes up every year in New Hampshire.
Every other year, right?
Every other year?
I think that's all they can do.
They have to wait every 2 years to do it?
That's my belief.
It's come up once before, so it's certainly possible it was 2 years ago. But of course, for those that don't know, New Hampshire is the only one of the 50 states that does not have a mandatory seatbelt piece of legislation for adults. It does for, I think, children under 12 or something
under
like that.
18. Under 18? Under 12.
Really?
Yep. If you're a minor, you have to wear a seatbelt.
Yep.
So they're now trying to expand that out to adults. And how'd it go today, Mark? Give us the story. Give us the scoop.
I consider it an important piece of legislation for the Free State Project in general.
You mean to defeat?
To defeat, yeah. Right, a piece of legislation for us to defeat. Because one of the things that differentiates New Hampshire from the other states is the fact that you don't have to wear a seatbelt.
It's one of those immediate things that you notice as soon as you come here, if you're crossing the border from Vermont or Massachusetts.
It's a big distinction. So that's the reason I go. Do I wear my seatbelt most of the time? If I'm going over 40 miles an hour, I try to wear my seatbelt. Did I in Florida? Yeah, sometimes, when I felt like it. It's never really been a thing for me. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter to me personally whether the seatbelt law gets passed, but I went today with the intention of, trying to do the right Free Stater thing.
To hold the line.
Right. Absolutely. And I went with Sam from the Obscure Truth Network, and mm-hmm. we both went up there, and, he did some filming, and he spoke, and I spoke.
Really? Okay.
And they trotted, there all kinds of people were there.
What was the turnout like? I heard it was really busy the last time.
It was pretty full.
They had to move to a new room because there were so many people there.
In this case, they moved from the large room into the smaller room because they had to be switched over. They wanted to get rid of people. They didn't want you. They said multiple times, please keep it down to 2 minutes or something like that.
So they moved it to the smaller room to try to exclude people that were interested?
They moved it to the smaller room because they had to give up the bigger room, supposedly.
But it had the result of excluding people that could not fit into the room, right?
It was, yes, people could not fit in the room.
Now, so what would you say the ratio was between bureaucrats who are obviously lobbying for this legislation and goody-goodies and looky-loos, that sort of thing, to
2-1
to people that are actually in favor of freedom?
2-1.
So more bureaucrats than freedom lovers?
More freedom lovers than bureaucrats.
Okay.
But it's not just bureaucrats, but there were people on that side, they got several of them up there, somebody who's been injured, and
uh-huh.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my seatbelt, or I've been injured because I didn't have my seatbelt on, and we need this law. So
right, healthcare costs will be lower if we have seatbelt mandates, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, and all these
people.
And
the police just want to do it for safety, right?
Right, of course. And they trotted out all the same old stuff, and...
Did anybody mention how revenues might be affected by this? Like they'll get more money? Did that even be?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Even
they mentioned the not revenues. They mentioned the $3.7 million on a regular basis.
That's the money from the feds. But I meant for the tickets that they'd be giving out.
No, they did not mention the tickets.
Is this proposed as a primary offense in that you could be pulled over for
Correct.
It?
Correct.
Okay.
And that was one of the excuses that they used as to why this was a better bill, because it was a primary offense.
Because last time it wasn't.
I don't know.
I see.
But the statistics out of Massachusetts, because Massachusetts' compliance is statistically one percentage point higher than New Hampshire's.
Yeah.
And they have a secondary law rather than a primary law. So that number doesn't count. Doesn't count. No. So you can't use that. Sorry. Whatever kind of nonsense. It matters, secondary or primary.
So they're saying, just in case somebody didn't catch that, what you're saying is that the compliance level means the amount of people that are wearing seatbelts in Massachusetts is 1% higher than the amount of people...
I believe it's 67% and 68%.
Yeah,
yes.
So essentially the reality of the situation is the law in Massachusetts doesn't make a hill of beans worth the difference as far as how many people wear their seatbelts.
So, I sat through a whole bunch of people, both for and against, and they...
How long did this drone on for? I mean,
hours.
What are we talking about here?
Three hours.
When did it start? When did it end?
I believe it started at 1 o'clock, and I believe we arrived back here at 5, so there was probably... We left there...
So about 3 hours then?
Yeah, three and a half hours for it.
Oh, that's grueling.
Yeah, it's rough. It really is. And that's the way you spend. I should have been providing money, working to provide money for my family today. But I had to go out and defend my right not to wear a seatbelt against. And it's every 2 years one of these people brings it up.
I would have liked to have been. I mean, you know that yesterday I was out at the court trial for Mike Barsky, one of the super activists here in New Hampshire, where a couple of other activists ended up getting arrested. We talked in detail about it last night. I would have loved to have spent my day working on Free Talk Live related stuff. But I ended up I had to go out and defend freedom and stand up for one of our activist friends in court. And you know when you're going out to court and you know when you're going to the legislative building, you've got to knock off an entire day. I mean, you pretty much have to just plan to just kill an entire day.
It's grueling, and it's really just unfair as hell. I don't want to have to defend my freedom against you people. Please go away. And they don't. You know, they're going to do their thing, and you've got to go out there and fight. And if you don't, well, you must think it's okay for us to have a primary seatbelt law. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
That's
if you don't raise a big stink, then you're okay with whatever we do to you.
And let me tell you about some big stinks. One guy came in with, like, covered in chains and ropes and all kinds of stuff, and said, "This is what you people are doing to me." Like, he made some kind of big to-do about how he's bound by the chains of the state or something, and I don't know who he was. I don't think he was a free state. I don't know what he was. He was
quite a visual.
He was quite a thespian, and I found it very uncomfortable to watch him. I just
why.
I found him because he was like it was too
was
to
too
me
weird?
It was out of place. Yeah, okay. It was weird and out of place, but. He was trying to make an effect for these people to look. This is how it is for me.
Yeah.
And people,
they don't care.
They looked away. They were whatever. And there was another gentleman who came up, and I swear his eloquence was as good as Patrick Henry's. And there's one politician who's fallen asleep and his mouth's open. And
they get up and they leave and they go get their lunch and they come back.
They come back, they're eating things, chatting with each other, just ignoring this guy.
Yeah.
Who cares about you, you petty little citizen?
They've made up their minds.
Absolutely. That's how I felt. So when I went up and I went to do my little speech, I stated my name and I stated where I was from and I said, and this seems to be important to them because they all go in there with their stuff on. And I said, I'm a firefighter and I'm a seatbelt wearer. And I explained to them that, that if this was about safety, then this bill would include a mandatory helmet provision and a fireproof Kevlar suit addendum.
We need a roll cage too,
right? Well, they would claim the cars have those that they have a cage. But if it was about safety, that's what it would be about. And I said, in order to keep my dog safe, I don't let her run around in the woods because I'm afraid a bear might eat her. Because I love her and I want the best for her. And if she does something that I don't like, I reprimand her. Now,
love you, Mark, and we're going to make you wear a seatbelt.
That's what you guys are doing to me. You're treating me like my dog. I can tell you a lot about my dog. She might be well fed, she might be well taken care of. She's not free. That dog's not free to do what you want, what she wants to do.
You can give me the rest of the story.
I'm not your dog.
In a moment here, 800-259-9231, and you can bring up what you want. Should seatbelts be mandatory?
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable, you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Stop wasting your time struggling with everything you're trying to learn. Learning should be a pleasure, not torture. The School of Phenomenal Memory gives you the training and tools you need to memorize any type of information quickly and efficiently. Just as you need to exercise to get your body into shape, you need to exercise mentally to improve your memory. The School of Phenomenal Memory will act as your personal trainer, guiding you through a series of 60 lessons. Once completed, you will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, guaranteed. Our course is not based on classic mnemonic techniques or other tricks that you simply can't apply in real life. Instead, the School of Phenomenal Memory uses the latest breakthrough and scientific understanding of how memory works, applying techniques based on natural mechanisms of your brain and memory. Start exercising your brain today at pmemory.net and receive Secrets of a Phenomenal Memory, the amazing ebook, absolutely free. Visit pmemory.net. The time is now. Learn how to memorize entire books today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, all the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. The features include the bulletin board system with over 400,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about there, from serious issues to fun stuff. You'll find it all free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com.
You know that email's not secure, but hey, privacy's dead anyway, right? Well, wrong. Introducing privacyharbor.com, an easy-to-use, secure email alternative. Guaranteed. Sign up for a free account today at privacyharbor.com because normal email is not secure. Privacyharbor.com.
Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. You feel like seatbelts should be mandatory? Is it actually about safety, or is it about generating revenue for the state? I mean, if you look at the numbers, we're talking about New Hampshire, of course, the only state in the country that does not require adults to wear seatbelts. The numbers say that New Hampshire has 1% less compliance with wearing seatbelts than a neighboring police state, Massachusetts, does. So it's not about getting people to be safe. It's about it being able to extract money from the 71%, the 31% of New Hampshireites that will probably continue to not wear their seatbelts if it is made illegal. And there was a hearing today at the State House about this. Of course, liberty lovers turned out in mass and outnumbered the amount of bureaucrats and statists that were turning out in favor of this piece of legislation. And Mark, you were one of the people that were there, and you were speaking against the proposal to force adults to wear seatbelts, and you were pointing out that you were giving an example about your dog, and you're right. Saying you control your dog.
I explained that the way they treat the citizenry is the way I treat my dog. Yeah. I love her. I want to see her protected. She's not free. She can't do what she wants.
But she has a good life.
She does have a good life. She's safe. Thanks.
And so will you, citizen, when you obey.
If you want to be safe, you can be safe. But you're not free when you don't give anybody these choices. So I tried to make that point, and I think that I did, made it rather eloquently. I was at least complimented on it later. And the last thing I did was, after I'd made, you know, the point about the dog, you know, and I kind of looked around and saw, I kind of have some of these people's attention, I kind of don't. And I said, you know that I drove from Keene today for an hour and a half in order to talk to you guys for nothing. I know that you guys don't have made up your mind, and you don't care what I've got to say, because you've heard it all before. You've heard the statistics. You've heard the safety argument. You've heard the human side of this. You've heard it all. I understand. I get it. However, I'm going to tell you something new, something you haven't heard before in this whole argument. And everybody begins to perk up a little bit. I wear my seatbelt today. I wear it now because I choose to. If you vote in what they call ought to pass, OTP, if you vote ought to pass on this and it gets a majority of ought to pass in this committee, I refuse to wear my seatbelt anymore.
Really? So not even if it's gets rejected at the full House level, you're going to stop wearing your seatbelt?
I think it's the Senate this is going through.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I may choose to forgive the committee, change my opinion I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, because it's going to be a little weird trying to explain to people 2 years from now, and I don't wear my seatbelt because the committee voted, you know, like, it's a little weird. If it gets shot down in the House, like, I might change my mind on it, but that's what I said.
But if it passes, if it goes all the way through, for sure, you're going to bail out on wearing a seatbelt? You're going to protest?
I'm going to bail out because of the committee, starting now.
Right.
Whenever it goes. I don't know what it's been voted on. I honestly have no idea. I called and trying to find out. I don't know when they vote, or I don't know anything about
it. I'm sure Dennis from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance will keep us in the loop here. But interesting. So you're saying that essentially you're going to engage in civil disobedience if this goes all the way through.
Right. And what I failed to say to these people, which I probably should have, but I think that it was kind of, let me know what you think about it. And it seems like you agree that, like, you understand what I was saying, but I don't know whether they did. I'm not going to pay their fine either.
Oh, yeah, that's true civil disobedience.
I said you're going to put me in jail for this. You're going to separate me from my kid and my family. Now, that's the new thing. That's the thing that's different here. That's the harm you're going to cause with this new bill.
Wow, that was really powerful.
Thanks. Do you have any questions?
Did they?
No, of course they don't have any questions. They could care less what I've got to say. Please.
Wow. So, you know, it would be interesting if they actually do go through with this would be to have some sort of mass civil disobedience where a bunch of people get together at a parking lot or something, and they'll drive to the police station and just drive around the police parking lot or something at a certain time, and nobody wears their seatbelts.
Yeah, and the police are really left in the lurch on this one. I know many of them, there were a couple of them there that would like to have seen the bill go through, and many of them really care passionately about it one way or the other, but they're really left in the lurch. I mean, what do they do?
Well, they'll enforce the law, and they'll collect money.
If they
feel
like it at the time.
They'll do their revenue agent job, as they're supposed to.
In this case, this is the politicians that need to feel the sting of this one, not the police officers.
How would you do that? How would you get the politicians to feel the sting?
I don't know.
You have to get them unelected. Well, kicked out of office in the next election. That's really what they care about. I mean, New Hampshire, it's a citizen legislature, so they're only making, I think, $200 every 2 years. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they either like participating in the political
process. They want to wield power.
Well, some of them. There's also at least several reps I'm aware of who go there to try to keep the state off people's backs in general. So either they want to wield power or they want to prevent other people from wielding power. But they're doing it because they like being a state representative. And that's what you need to take away from them. If you can't do that, you don't have a whole lot of leverage. I mean, I really don't think you do.
Didn't this bill go through the committee last time?
It was stopped by a hair's breadth the last time.
I thought it went to a full vote and failed. I thought it went through the committee and then failed at the full vote.
You know, it's hard to remember that there have been so many important bits of legislation.
It was killed in the Senate by a narrow margin.
Right. That was my recollection,
too. So it
actually
passed the House?
It went from House committee through the House and then had to go through the Senate committee and then was stopped by a couple of votes in the Senate that were really people that could have gone either way. And that's the reason I went. I didn't go for these committee members that had made up their mind. I ended up talking to the woman who sponsored of the bill, not through my choice, but through the choice of the person next to me, whom I said, you know, I don't even bother talking to her. You know, there's nothing you're going to say to her that's going to convince her of anything.
She's such a nanny status.
And then she said, you know, to me, well, nothing's going to, you're not going to say anything to convince you either. And I said, you're right. You're not. And she said, well, you don't have the right to put your family and child in danger.
You're putting me in danger by throwing me in a jail cell.
Right.
We'd be fine. Thank you very much.
But, you know, this is how mom thinks. And, yeah. You know, she's got three kids, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And she took very good care of them, I'm sure. And they probably were raised to wear their seatbelts, I'm sure. And so now she's, you know, now that they've flown the coop, she's got other people to mom.
It's
That's
sad.
All she wants to do. I forgot to ask her when she moved here from Massachusetts, though.
Ooh. 800-259-9231.
So if you want to get involved in this stuff. I find disillusioning about it. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't important, and I would, and I probably will go.
You do it again?
I probably will go again when this comes up. There's two bills.
I might go to the marijuana thing. I don't know. Yeah.
The marijuana thing was today. You missed it.
There's a medical marijuana thing. That was today?
This was full marijuana decrim.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know about that one.
Well, yeah, it was a crappy one. I don't think that there is a medical marijuana one.
I believe there is. Okay. But go ahead with your
thing. Anyway, I think it's important, and I would go and continue to go. But the part that's disillusioning is I did this 2 years ago.
Yep, and you'll do it again.
It's in my very, very recent memory, and I just hate how they can pull the strings and make you do it again and make you do it again and make you do it again. How many years have they been dancing this damn seatbelt thing around?
It is a pain, but on the upside, had it not been for people going to Concord, I'm pretty sure the seatbelt law may not have passed, but my feeling is that without activists getting out there and pushing the senators to vote against it, I think it would have passed, and we would have had the seatbelt law for 2 years now.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there was the horse regulation that they were looking at putting through where they were going to charge a $25 registration fee for horses, and the horse owners came out in mass against
it. They really did.
And they scared the crap out of the senators or whatever, the reps. And
Even the one who sponsored it.
Yeah, they killed that thing really quickly. So there is there's something good to say about all these activists going out and doing this, and the Free State Project is making this more possible here, and it's really helping. And you can get involved in this. You go to freestateproject.org if you really dig the political scene. There's a lot of, you can have a lot more of an effect as one person in the political scene in New Hampshire than you can anywhere else. More coming up. You bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The PacLite can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The PacLite is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The PacLite comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number. Brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, become an amplifier for $3 a month. We take that money in and reinvest it into the show, getting on more radio stations across the country, around the world, bringing more internet listeners on board, and exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. If you think that's valuable and you want to help us out, go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get access to the amp-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. All the details at amp.freetalklive.com. All right, so we're talking about something that Mark did today. He went and engaged in political activism, which I believe is the most ineffective way to achieve change in our world. However, it does appear to have some level of effectiveness here in New Hampshire that's a greater level of effectiveness than it does anywhere else. I mean, Mark, can you imagine having to drive to Tallahassee in order to go and get active back in Florida? I mean, you've never done anything like that where you come from.
No, so. I never have, and I never would. Tallahassee is a five-hour drive as opposed to I don't think there is a 5-hour drive in New Hampshire, and you know the reps represent a much smaller area. They're much more likely to listen, and you know it's just,
and we've got the activists here. We've got the Free State Project here in New Hampshire encouraging thousands of people to move here, and it makes a difference being around like-minded liberty people.
However, you know, I still find it disempowering, going in there, talking to a bunch of representatives that could really care less what my opinion are.
Yeah. Now, they're just going through the motions.
There might be a few of them in there that that you can sway, and I tried very hard to do that. I know I got their attention when I said, I'm going to tell you something new, something you've never heard before.
I got their attention when I went in on the drug thing, when they were doing the marijuana decrim bill, and I went in as a representative of New Hampshire organized crime and told them, I was just effectively acting, I was putting on a little skit, basically. And essentially I told them, hey, guys, you know, you voted these things down in the past, and we've really appreciated that. New Hampshire Organized Crime would like to encourage you to continue to vote, to say no to this legislation, because it will, if you vote yes on this decrim, it will take our profits from us. I mean, essentially pointing out that the New Hampshire Organized Criminals would really appreciate them continuing to vote it down. And they paid attention, and they noticed, and they thought that that it was amusing, and it seemed like some of them really got what it was I was doing, but they voted it. They voted in favor of
it. There was one like
against
that
it anyway. Rather.
One like that today. I believe the gentleman's name is Bill, and a Free State Project member who came in knee pads and a fire retardant jacket and a helmet and a little breathing mask, and you know, just to prove that the safety nuts really want this. Mm-hmm. We need this. This we must have this because the people of New Hampshire are not smart enough to take care of themselves. You know, so he made the point, and then you made a seatbelt salute at the end. I don't know. like I think some of them were turned off. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't care.
Who knows?
You know what? The first time I went in there, somebody had a problem with how I did things, and I just don't care. I'll make my points, and that's that. If I'm going to go to one of these things, I'm going to take it from the perspective that I think it should be approached from.
See, I don't think that good points are necessarily mitigated or stomped out by bad points. Like, for instance, I found the guy wrapped up in chains and ropes to be very disconcerting. I couldn't even look at him. I did not like, you know, the way he was yelling and rambling and stomping around. I couldn't handle him. I'm not sure that that has anything to do with, you know, the other gentleman who got up and, you know, spoke eloquently and, you know, did a great job or spoke from the heart to people that, you know, whatever. I'm not sure that that anyone had anything to do with the others. I don't know. I'm not sitting in those reps' places. I would allow a person to not, you know, wear a seatbelt if that's what they chose. I just don't know what it's like to sit up there for them. I'm too far removed from it.
Let's get back to what you're saying about being disconcerted.
I'm disillusioned.
Disillusioned.
By having to go there, having to deal with these people on a regular basis. 2 years ago when I went up there for the seatbelt thing and we just scraped by a hair's breadth, and maybe that's part of the disillusionment with this all, you know, the being defeated. Is, and I don't know that we are defeated. I have no idea, but you know, I thought that was it. I thought in 2 years the Free State Project will have done it. Mm. We'll have enough people here that there's no way that they can't that they could, you know, stop this. And I think that there were definitely more people here this
That's
time
good.
Than there were last time. It's just a guess. I don't really remember things
yeah,
like
who's
that.
Counting?
I've been to so many of these darn things. I promised myself 2 a year.
The critical mass certainly has not happened, and it has to do with the political system and the fact that there really aren't that many people here. I mean, the reality is only a few hundred people have moved here for the Free State Project at this point. Now, the activists that have moved here are really super activists. They've set up great networking organizations like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, and they're doing wonderful civil disobedience, but there's not a real critical mass quite yet. Yeah, there are a few hundred activists, but they're scattered across the state. And when you've got an event like this, only so many people can show up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for something like that on a weekday. So there's only so many people of the movers that are going to show up, which is why we just need more numbers. I mean, more numbers is going to solve this disillusionment that you're yeah. talking about here. And it ties into something I was saying yesterday when I was out at the courthouse and we were there for Mike Barsky, one of the activists who's been attacked by the state here. There were only maybe 8 or 10 people that came out. I mean, I would have loved to have seen 40,
but it's really good for a court case, though.
Right, yeah, it's really good for a court case and one that was only announced on the weekend because he was arrested on Saturday night.
There were probably 100 people against this bill. I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't know the numbers, but it was probably 100 people who spoke against this bill today, or at least.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, there were a lot of people there, and I don't know how.
100 people spoke against it or were there?
Were there against it with stickers and things like that, so stood against it, I should say. And so, I mean, that's great and everything. I just don't think, I don't know. I just hate seeing these politicians.
Particularly with the political process, I think from the standpoint of the legislators, they're more likely to listen to the people who come to speak against, say, a seatbelt law if it's not the same people they've seen. They're not saying they remember the exact faces. But in some cases, some of the activists, because it's a very active pool of people here in New Hampshire, but there's only a few hundred people. So,
and many
I guarantee you there are bureaucrats who recognize, hey, that guy was here to speak for the marijuana deal.
Sure, there are core activists that probably go to everything.
And I think it has more weight with them if they at least have the feeling that the numbers of people who care about their rights and freedoms is growing, and you know maybe there are more people out there voting that way.
And those numbers are growing.
They are growing, but I think it's important to show the bureaucrats that.
I agree with you, and I think that there are some important things we should look at here to encourage people. I mean, Mark, you said that more people did turn out this time, and we do know that as of the 2008 elections, there are now 4, I believe, actual free staters who have been elected to the state house, as compared to what number one, it was only one guy before 2008.
Yeah, speaking of the one guy, Joel Winters did speak in opposition to this bill.
So that's good news. So, I mean, even in the political realm where it's slow going, they have had advancements in a positive direction. But we need more people, and that's really going to help create create new groups and new activity and new ideas and new brainstorming and new relationships and more socializing and people getting to know one another and bond together. And really, more people is going to solve this issue. And the reality is only a few hundred people have moved. It's early on in the Free State Project. I mean, they're just now about to cross the 9,000 mark. If you want to be within the first 9,000 Free Staters, you can go to freestateproject.org. And I think they're at 8,997 members. So we need just more numbers. And I know more are coming. I think we're going to see the most movers in 1 year yet in 2009. A lot more are coming probably in 2010. A lot of them are younger folks out of college.
There's constantly new heights being reached by the Free State Project. It's no doubt. It's just one guy who's been here two stinking years, nothing compared to some of these people who've been fighting this for a lot longer. And I guess it's for me, I'm much more interested in my town. And this is an intrusion by the state, and I have to drive an hour and a half or something to get there, spend my whole day on it. I would much rather deal with my local town bureaucrats on things like this. And, it goes to show my disillusionment with Washington, where I don't believe that there's any access. Mm-hmm. All I've even bothered doing is downsize D.C. and sending them, these dispatch things that I send off from downsize D.C.
Yeah, at least these folks, when you call them, you're talking to the actual representative. You're not talking to some office staff or something like
that.
Right, really accessible.
And today I did talk to one of them, and the lady, essentially told me that I don't care what you say. I don't care. You will obey my law. You will. This little wicked witch.
Yeah.
This awful little woman trying to jam her rules down people's throats.
Yeah. That's the reality. All right, so we could use your help, and hopefully you're already planning to come here. It would be nice if we could just flip on the mics, Mark, and then, have 20,000 people sign up, and next month everybody moves.
That's what people think radio's like, by the way.
That'd be nice.
They really do think that, those two guys on Freak Talk Live, they're going to take care of that Liberty thing for me. Thank goodness for them. No, we're not. We can't.
It's up to you, my friend.
If you're listening to my voice and you think you care about freedom, do something about it. I don't know what you can do about it.
You need to be a self-starter.
My experience is if you're doing anything that's not inside the Free State Project, it's not worth doing.
Wow, 800-259-9231.
Anything you did was worth doing prior to getting involved in the Free State Project?
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
I helped myself learn how to be a little more extroverted.
You educated yourself?
I was a little more extroverted.
Well,
I reached out to people.
Personal growth.
Hour three's coming up.
I wasn't talking
about it. This is Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. Privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.